One measure of a war is the number and type of casualties an army sustains and the manner in which it sustains them. So far in Iraq, for every 2 American, British, or Australian combat deaths, there's been roughly 1 non-combat death. For a sense of how that strikes military observers, we turn to Professor Doug Johnson of the Strategic Studies Institute of the U.S. Army War College. Doug Johnson, what does the number of deaths due to accident or fratricide tell you?
Well, it tells you that you're running about normal. Over the years, the accident rate has hovered around 50-odd percent, climbing higher during Desert Storm. And in all probability, unless something dramatic happens on the ground, it'll still be relatively high during this operation.
But the notion that so many lives are lost at war due to accident must be a preoccupation of commanders, since unlike hostile fire, accidents you'd think could be prevented to some degree.
Well, it absolutely is, and there's a great deal of energy put into it. The problem is, when you get into a fight, adrenaline takes over, and unless your coordination measures and sometimes technology are at a peak, and oh, by the way, if the battlefield doesn't happen to be obscured by smoke, dust, and the like, then you can reduce those casualties somewhat.
As U.S. forces move closer to Baghdad, are there any particular structures or vehicles that will enter the scene of battle that pose greater problems for potential friendly fire incidents?
The problem, of course, in cities is you have such short ranges at which you identify things. You got to do a quick look and shoot, and that's always going to be a challenge. Fighting in cities is really hairy, and there are lots of accidents in cities just by the nature of the beast.
There was an incident recounted this morning, I believe, of an American soldier, possibly a Marine, I'm not sure, who was not with his unit, was standing next to an abandoned Iraqi tank.
I saw that.
When another unit came by and seeing a human form in uniform, I guess, next to the tank,
right,
fired and killed him.
Yep.
What was wrong there? How could that conceivably have happened?
Well, that's one that's very difficult to second guess. Was there any reason for the guy not to be there? Should somebody have been not quite so trigger happy in the passing unit? That's one of those that probably goes down in the imponderable category. I don't have the facts. So.
But what's the message to the troops? Does it get investigated?
And
does the individual in question conceivably face discipline if he fired imprudently?
Conceivably. Everything that looks like an accident gets investigated. And if it looks like it's a friendly fire accident, it gets investigated too, if there's any casualties. There's a whole procedure set up for that, and it's very, very strictly enforced.
One last question before I have to let you go. Accidents. Do you just assume that if hundreds of helicopters make dozens of trips apiece anywhere, some of them will crash?
Yes. Mechanical operations are not perfect in anything. When you fire a certain number of rounds out of an artillery tube, you replace the tube because statistically you know that at a certain point your probability of failure reaches an unacceptable level and you pull the thing out and throw it away.
We don't throw out the helicopters, though, after they seem to be there for decades.
Helicopters have the same wear criteria after so many hours. Mm-hmm. They have to be taken down and inspected, and after so many hours after that, they have to be rebuilt. And in lousy conditions like the desert, you have to adjust it downward. So there's an entire maintenance operation that keeps those things going, and they adhere to the flying rules.
Dr. Johnson, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Sure.
Doug Johnson, who is a professor at the U.S. Army War College's Strategic Studies Institute.